You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. Join us now for Bishop Sheen Presents, hosted by Al Smith.
Hello, my dear friends, and welcome to another edition of Bishop Sheen Presents here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. When I think of great voices, I think of Bishop Sheen. And it was his voice that touched the hearts of millions of souls through his radio addresses and his television programs. And we'd like to share a few of those reflections with you today. So I would invite you to sit back and relax and enjoy the wit and the wisdom of the Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Hello, my good friends, and welcome to another edition of Bishop Sheen Presents. Today we are going to go far back in time. The year was 1948, and it was January 11th. And Monsignor Sheen at the time was giving an address simply entitled, The Basis of Our Anxieties. And when I looked through the archives and I saw this title, I thought, that would be very appropriate for today. Because it seems many of my friends and family members are suffering from anxiety. And again, rightfully so, I think, with all the struggles of the pandemic and job losses and school and, again, wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. All of these things are causing a great deal of anxiety. And so I think what Fulton Sheen did so well week in and week out was he gave people some common sense answers, some insights into, I'd like to say, the human condition. But again, he met us. He met us where we were at and struck up that conversation that was so needed. And so this recording, I think, after you listen to it, you will say, is he speaking in the year 2021? Again, all the things he will reveal, it will astound you. But this is what saints do. Saints, actually, their wisdom is timeless. And so I'm looking forward to sharing this old radio address with you today. So I'd invite you once again to sit back and relax and enjoy what I believe is one of the greatest communicators of our time, the Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Friends, in last Sunday's broadcast, we said that if the modern soul wishes to go to God through the inner self instead of from nature, that the Christian apologist ought to take him on that road. Today we begin with the fact that one of psychology's favorite descriptions of modern man is that he has an anxiety complex. Psychology is more right than it suspects, and for a more profound reason than it knows. There is no doubt that an increasing number of persons today are afflicted with psychoses, neuroses, complexes, fears, anxieties, irritabilities, and ulcers. But modern anxiety is quite different from the anxiety of previous and more normal ages in two ways. In other days, men were anxious about their souls. But modern anxiety is concerned principally with the body. The major worries today are economic security, health, complexion, wealth, social prestige, and biological energies. To read modern advertisements, one would think that the greatest calamity that could befall a human being would be either to have dishpan hands or to have a cough in the T-zone. This overemphasis on corporal security is not healthy. and has begotten a generation that is much more concerned about having life belts to wear on a sea journey than about the cabin it will occupy and enjoy. And the second characteristic of modern anxiety is that its fears are not objective, but subjective. Fear of objective natural dangers, such as lightning, beasts, and famine, is normal. Fear of objective dangers is always part of the human nature. But a subjective anticipated fear of what one believes would be dangerous if it happened is abnormal. Such persons with anxieties become like fish caught in nets and birds trapped in the snare, increasing their own entanglements by the fierceness of their disorderly exertions to overcome them. Modern psychologists have done an admirable service in studying anxieties, both on the level of consciousness and unconsciousness. But anxiety is deeper than they believe, for it appears on all the levels of life. Anxiety may take on new forms in our disordered civilization, but anxiety has always been rooted in the nature of man. There never has been a human being in the history of the world without an anxiety complex. Because anxiety has always existed, we want to find the basic reason for it. The permanent ground of all restlessness, of which the psychological is only a superficial manifestation. The basic reason of all anxiety is due to the fact that man is a composite of body and soul. Standing midway between the animal and the angel, living in a finite world and aspiring toward the infinite, moving in time and seeking the eternal, he is pulled at one moment toward the pleasures of the body and at another moment toward the joys of the spirit. That is why he is anxious. He is in a constant state of suspension between matter and spirit. He may be likened to a mountain climber who aspires to the great peak above, and yet, looking back from his present position, fears falling to the abyss below. This example of the mountain climber, however, is not exact, for he has no helper on the upper peak to which he aspires. Man, however, has. For God, on the upper peak of eternity, reaches out his omnipotent hand to lift man up even before man raises his voice in plea. It is evident, then, that even though we escaped all of the anxieties of modern economic life, even though we avoided all of the tensions which psychology finds in consciousness and unconsciousness, we would still have that great basic anxiety that is born of our creatureliness. Anxiety stems fundamentally from irregulated desires, from the creature wanting something that is unnecessary for him, or contrary to his nature, or positively harmful to his soul. Anxiety increases in direct ratio and proportion as man departs from God. In plain, simple language, every man in the world has an anxiety complex because he has a capacity to be either a sinner or a saint. Let no one ever tell you that your anxiety comes from the fact that your unconscious mind still bears traces of your animal origin. This is untrue, simply because animals left to themselves never have anxieties. They have natural fears, which are good, but no subjective anxiety such as man, unless their frustration is deliberately induced in them by the perverse intelligence of man making experiments. No fox has an anxiety complex about his lair being deeper than that of the Jones fox. Nor do robins ever develop a psychosis about whether they will take a trip for the winter to California or to Florida. An animal can never be less than it is, but a man can, because a man is a composite of spirit and matter. When we see a monkey acting foolishly, we do not say, "Do not act like a nut." But when we see a man acting foolishly, we do say, "Do not act like a monkey." Because a man is a spirit as well as matter, he can descend to the level of the beasts. But not so completely as to destroy the image of God in his soul. It is this that makes the peculiar tragedy of man. Crows have no psychoses. Pigs have no neuroses. Chickens are never frustrated. And neither would man ever be frustrated, nor would he have an anxiety complex, nor a despair, if he were only an animal made for this world. It takes eternity to make a man despair. An animal can have only a sick body, but not a sick soul. A psychology which denies the soul is therefore constantly contradicting itself. It calls man an animal, and then proceeds to describe in man an anxiety which no animal has, because no animal has a rational soul. Now, since the basic cause of man's anxiety is the possibility of being either a saint or a sinner, it follows that there are only two alternatives. Man can either mount upwards to the peak of eternity, or else slip backwards to the chasms of despair and frustration. I know there are some who think there is another alternative, namely indifference. They think that just as bears hibernate for a season in a state of animated suspension, so they can sleep through life without choosing for God or against him. But this is no escape. Not only because winter ends and one is forced to make a decision, but because indifference itself is a decision. White fences do not remain white fences by doing nothing to them. They soon become black fences. But the mere fact that we do not go forward, we go backward. There are no planes in the spiritual life. We are either going uphill or coming down. And furthermore, the attitude of indifference is only mental. Though a soul does not positively reject the infinite rejects him. The talents that are unused are taken away. And God speaks in the scriptures to the broad-minded, indifferent soul, saying, "Because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit thee from my mouth." Returning now to the supreme alternatives, how resolve this basic anxiety of life? Either man can make the soul subject to the body, or the body subject to the soul. Consider those who resolve the anxiety in favor of godlessness. They invariably end by substituting a false god for the true God of love. Now, this false god can take on three forms. If the god is one's ego, that is the sin of pride. If the god is flesh, That is the sin of lust. If the God is things, that is the sin of avarice. Pride, lust, avarice. The devil, the flesh, and the world. These constitute the new unholy Trinity by which man is wooed away from the Holy Trinity and from the discovery of the goal of life. Now you understand why, to compensate for those sins, there exists in religion the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Anxiety and frustration invariably follow when the desires of the heart are centered on any one of these, or anything less than God. For then all the pleasures of earth turn out to be the opposite of what was expected. The expectation is joyous. The realization is disgust. Certainly you want to go through life being something else than a contented cow. Consider now that other alternative which overcomes the basic anxiety of life by an act of abandonment, in which the body is disciplined and made subject to the spirit, and the whole personality is directed to God. If you are interested in enjoying this inner peace, there are three ways to acquire it. First, control your desires. All anxieties and frustrations are due to uncontrolled desires. When a soul does not get what it wants, it falls into sadness and distress. One of the greatest deceptions is the belief that leisure and money are the two essentials of happiness. The sad fact of life is that there are no more frustrated people on the face of the earth than those who have nothing to do and those who have too much money for their own good. Work never killed anybody, but worry does. And to conquer anxiety does not mean eliminating desires, but rather arranging them in a kind of hierarchy, as our Lord reminded us in saying that life is more than the raiment. Now, this implies not only a renunciation of what is evil, but even a voluntary deprivation of some things that are lawful, in order that the spirit is made free to mount to God. When the sacrifices of our Lord become the inspiration of controlled desires, then the burdens of life are borne not only with renunciation, but are even accepted as providential calls to greater intimacy with Him. And secondly, you can overcome your psychic anxieties by transferring concern from your body to your soul. There are two kinds of anxieties, one about time, the other about eternity. Most people are anxious about those very things they should not be anxious about. Our divine Lord in the Gospel mentioned at least 9 things that we should not worry about. And these are the 9 anxieties which keep most people in a state of unrest. The 9 anxieties our blessed Lord told us not to worry about were these: having your body killed, about what you will say in days of persecution when you were called on the carpet before commissars, about whether you should build another barn or another skyscraper, about family disputes because you accept the faith, about mother-in-law troubles, about your meals, your drinks, your fashions, your complexion. But he did tell us that we should be very anxious about one thing, and one thing only: our soul. Our Lord does not mean that worldly anxieties are unnecessary. He only said that if we are anxious about our souls, the lesser anxieties would dissolve. Seek ye first, he said. Note, he did not say not only. but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. Every human being must love the perfect, or else he will go crazy, because no man is sufficient unto himself. The third way to overcome your anxieties is to trust in God. Love is reciprocal. It is received in proportion as it is given. That is why there is a special providence for those who trust in God. Contrast two children. One child in a happy family who is well provided for in the way of food, clothing, and education. The other a homeless orphan of the street. The first child lives in an area of love. The second is outside of that area and therefore enjoys none of the privileges. Many souls deliberately choose to exclude themselves from that area of the Heavenly Father's love where they might live as His children. They trust only in their own resources, their own bank account, their own devices. They are very much like a son who, in time of need, never called on his wealthy father for assistance. The result is, they lose many of the blessings of those who are relieved from anxieties by thrusting themselves into the loving arms of God. Many favors and blessings are hanging from heaven to relieve our temporal anxieties if we did but cut them down with the sword of our trust in God. And relief from anxiety comes not from giving ourselves to God by halves, but by an all-compassing love, wherein we go back not to our past in fear, not to the future in anxiety, but lie quiet in His hand, having no will but His own. Then the shadows of life are seen, as the poet says, as the shade of His hand, outstretched caressingly. Take a resolution, then, to make a holy hour a day in meditation. If you are a Catholic, do it in the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Remember that your unconscious mind is disturbed because your final purpose of life is not yet decided. Now, during that hour of meditation, decide why you are living, where you are going, and then you won't have anxieties in your unconscious mind. If there were anywhere on earth a resting place other than God, you may be sure that your soul in its long history would have found it out before this. As St. Augustine said, our hearts were made for thee, and they are restless until they rest in thee, O God. Why stand ye then at the gate of indecision? Has your heart lost its wings? While each plant makes haste to make good the promise of the bud, hear ye the Savior's question, why are you anxious? 'Tis God who woos your anxious, restless heart. And if you have an anxiety complex, it is because you are not yet divinely embraced. 'Tis want of courage not to yield. Be not death's prey before you be love's prize. Let the fortress of thyself be taken, and then your ego being undone, you will be an uncaught captive in the hands of love. God love you.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program. Bishop Sheen presents, hosted by Al Smith.
Hello, my good Radio Maria family. I want to thank you personally for joining me today to listen to some of the wisdom of the Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. May I invite you to visit our website. It's simply entitled BishopSheenToday.com. Again, Bishop Sheen Today, because we need him today. And on the website, you'll find over 100 videos of his television shows and many of his lectures. We have years and years of audio recordings that we've, of course, given over the years here at Radio Maria Canada. And so you can listen to about 400 of our broadcast. And there's also a free downloadable book and pamphlet section that you'll quite enjoy. So again, that is bishopsheentoday.com. I would kindly ask you to spread the good news of Bishop Sheen here on Radio Maria. And so again, please share this recording on social media and with everyone who, of course, could benefit from these reflections. And so everyone, until next week, may the good Lord continue to bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord look upon you kindly and bring you peace. God love you.
You have been listening to Bishop Sheen Presents, hosted by Al Smith, here on Radio Maria Canada.